Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
You kill people at the behest of your superiors.
Yeah, that's right, Counselor.
And the head of your family is Michael Corleone.
Yeah, Counselor, Michael Corleone, right.
Did you ever get such an order directly from Michael Corleone?
No, I never talked to him.
Was there always a buffer involved? There's someone in between you and your possible superiors who gave the actual order.
Right, yeah, buffer. The family had a lot of buffers.
Well, welcome to the Savage Nation. We're watching life imitating art. Her family has a lot of buffers. A lot of buffers. Now, the number one lieutenant of that crime family is, of course, this creep, Sidney Blumenthal. And I'll tell you more about him, because you're not going to believe what you have not heard yet today. Many of you don't know who Sidney Blumenthal is. He's an all-around serpent. Sidney Blumenthal is a former failed reporter who went to work for the Clinton hit machine. Sidney Blumenthal worked with Media Matters to destroy anyone on the conservative side. But worse than that, let's forget that he's just a political operative of the lowest kind. Blumenthal had business plans for Libya post-Gaddafi that will blow you off the planet. When you find out what Sidney Blumenthal's private business interests in Libya were to have been, these are bombshell revelations by the House Benghazi Committee Chairman Representative Trey Gowdy today. You're not going to believe what those business interests were. And then you have to ask yourself, was Hillary going to benefit from these private business interests? Because I'm going to expose to you what the contracts were, why they killed Gaddafi so suddenly, and what they hope to do after they killed Gaddafi. Now, having said that, I've watched these hearings all morning. And I tweeted this today. Proves that she has the number one qualification to be president. She can lie with a straight face, can lie better than anyone on the planet, and keep the cat that ate the cream smile. I've never seen anything like this. She's out of communist China. She is such a skilled liar and rhetorician that she's suitable for the presidency of the United States post-Obama. She is perfect for the position. She can lie better than anyone. She doesn't lose her composure, and she is absolutely chilling in her delivery. She's like the Gang of Five under in China, post-Mao Zedong. In fact, you should know this. It didn't come up today, and it's an obscure point. The Chinese communists noted 5 or so years ago that Hillary Clinton was such a skilled liar as a politician, or they called her a deliverer, that they sent members of the Communist Party of China to study her delivery here in the United States of America. I believe you can research that fact and find it. She is right out of the communist playbook. She cannot be moved. And I would ask you today, if you've watched the hearings, I'll give you my opinion, because I've given it already. Here's the question for you. Do you think Hillary looks better or worse today? Do you think Hillary is winning or losing today? Because that's all that matters. The truth doesn't matter. The truth is gone. The truth is dead with Ambassador Stevens. We know what she did. We know that she paid no attention to him and the Marines who were guarding him. We know that he was whacked because he was moving weapons from Libya, meaning Gaddafi's stockpile, to Syria to give to the anti-Assad forces. That's not well documented, but it's documented well enough for people to conclude that that's exactly why Stevens was let to die. Now, I have another revelation for you on the show, which you may not have seen during today's hearings, which is this. I have the names of all the generals and admirals who were fired by Obama right after the disaster in Benghazi. I have all their names. And I am surprised that they were not called today, because none of them are in the military, to testify that they were ready, willing, and able to send aid and support to save Ambassador Stevens and those CIA and other contractors who were protecting him. They were fired right after Benghazi, and I figured out why. I discussed it in my last book, Stop the Coming Civil War. For those of you who have the book, you can research it. Their names are in there. But I go farther in Government Zero. And I'm not going to talk about the book. I'm going to be talking about Hillary Clinton's capacity for getting away with virtual murder and why she will be the most dangerous president of all, far worse than Hillary Clinton, far worse than Barack Obama. If you think that Obama is bad, and bad is he, wait until you see what she's going to do. This hearing is far more important than you may imagine. This hearing that you are watching or that you're going to hear today, because we have a live feed coming out of Westwood One's newsroom anytime we want it. If there's fireworks, we'll play them for you live on the show over the next 2 hours and 45 minutes, because the hearings are going on right now as we talk. This is the seminal hearing of the future of America for one reason. If they do not bring her down, if they do not crack her, if they do not bring in a surprise witness that blows these hearings apart, she will be the next president of the United States, is my opinion. It will be the end of this country as you know it. She will do to this country everything you've ever feared. Now, I don't want to go down that road. I want to stick to these Benghazi hearings right now. I want to stick to who Sidney Blumenthal is, the serpent. I want to talk about Sidney Blumenthal's business interests in Libya that underlie these hearings. He was going to make a fortune. And she was smoothing the skids for him to make a fortune, which indicates that some of that money was going to flow outside of Sidney's hands somewhere else. I think you can put two and two together. Sidney Blumenthal is one of the worst people in the history of the United States of America. In any other time, he would have been indicted by now. Sidney Blumenthal is a cohort of George Soros. Sidney Blumenthal is a cohort of the Stalinists in Media Matters. I have good evidence, although I cannot prove it, that Sidney Blumenthal's fingerprints are all over my having been banned in Britain in 2009. I cannot prove it. I can only allege it. I'm not going to talk about being banned in Britain. As the only member of the American media who cannot enter Britain, it's Michael Savage, and I'm proud of it. I'm very proud of it. Apparently, they only permit Islamists to enter Britain right now. Only Islamists need apply, or Syrian refugees need apply, but I cannot go there. And it's a shame I can't go to Britain, because I did want to go there for my dental work and for their famous cuisine, but I guess I'll have to put that off for a while. But the fact of the matter is, there's Hillary Clinton sitting there with aplomb, the cat that ate the cream, those cheeks, the surgical cheeks. They only got to her twice today. And I saw this woman, when she was finally having to answer something that she was uncomfortable with, fall apart. You saw the face literally collapse in front of your eyes. That communist Chinese assurance, that Madame Mao look, that Madame Zhu look, disappeared only once or twice. When she was no longer in control, she went apart. You have to understand something about power. They don't let anyone near them. They let nobody near them. They're insulated by buffers. 30, 40, 50, 100 layers of buffers. Nobody gets near them. This is not Britain, where they have to answer the opposition party directly, as they do in England once a week, where even the prime minister answers the opposition party without a script. We live in a controlled dictatorship in this country, unlike anything you could ever imagine. So these hearings are our only look at a fragment of what democracy might actually look like. And so it's an important hearing, because if they don't bring her down, and I don't think they will, she is likely to be the next president of the United States, because all the money in the country wants her to be the next president. And I have heard through inside sources that that includes the owner of Fox News. That includes all of the minions of Fox News. They are all being told, they've all been told, to go soft on Hillary Clinton, go soft on illegal immigration. Do not attack her, because she is the chosen one to those who own and run the news corporation And now you understand why I am blacklisted at Fox News. Yes, I'll make it very personal. I'll inject myself into this discussion, as I have done twice so far in this monologue. Whether you like me or not is almost irrelevant. What's important is that I'm an important member of the American media. Whether you like that or not, it's a fact of reality. I have not survived these 21 years by not being an important member of the American media. And I can tell you certain things that you don't know, that you should know, that have everything to do with Hillary Clinton's appearance right now. I have new faith in certain congressmen that I never heard of before. Most of them are from the South. They look like real men. They talk like real men. They sound like real men. And they're giving it to her good. Like Mom Pompeo, Republican of Kansas. I wouldn't call that the South, but we'll make him an honorary Southerner just for the sake of discussion. He's not afraid of her. He knows what a rotten piece of work she is. Watch your face when Pompeo works her over. There go the cheeks. All the surgery in the world cannot uphold the fake cheeks when Pompeo starts talking. And so these are things that are interesting to watch, humorous to watch, but they're not important. What's important is whether or not she will survive this, and the answer is, I think, resoundingly yes. Now, before I conclude my introduction and invite you to call the show with your observations, I will say this. If I were running these hearings, I would run it like a Hollywood film. And I would, in the afternoon today of these hearings, bring in a surprise witness that would blow the hearing apart. It would bring her down. She'd be finished. And that surprise witness would have a name. I wouldn't say in general. It would be General Carter Ham of the U.S. Army. It would be Rear Admiral Charles Guet, commander of Carrier Strike Group 3, who was fired by Obama right after Benghazi. It would be Carter Ham, who was the head of the United States African Command during the bloodshed in Benghazi, Libya, when Stevens and others were killed by Muslims. General Ham was extremely critical of Barack Obama because Obama would not let him send reinforcements to help the U.S. citizens under attack in Benghazi. He was then fired in April 2013. I have all the names of all the surprise witnesses who I would have brought to testify today as to why they were told or who told them and when they were told not to send reinforcements and who fired them. You're not going to hear any of these men. I believe they don't want to take a walk in Marcy Park. They don't want to wind up floating in a river in Washington. You're watching The Godmother, Part 1. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. I get the picture. We're watching The Godmother Part 1 with the wrong music. And that's the best we can expect, given the times that we are in. The Godmother is up there. You can cut the music. It's the wrong cut, but that's okay. We didn't ask for a recital from a junior high school. The issue today is, who is looking better, Hillary Clinton or her interrogators? And the answer is clear. Madam Zhu is winning. Madam Zhu, who could easily work for the premier of China, whatever they call him, would be very happy in China in her delivery. So I think she's perfect for the presidency. She can lie better than anybody. She can lie under pressure. She'll never answer a question directly. She won't take responsibility for anything she does. And in my opinion, she's about as corrupt as they come, which are all high qualifications for the office of the presidency. Again, I want to repeat and read the names to you. This is very, very important. Write it like a movie director. Make believe you're a film director. The hearings are on. The entire future of the American presidency is at stake. You bring in a surprise witness in the afternoon. Like in the Godfather movie, like the brother they brought in from Sicily who blew the hearings apart, you bring in a secret witness, she looks at them and that's the end of the hearing. Who would that be? That would be the generals or the admiral dismissed by Obama right after Benghazi because they wanted to send help. They were ready to send Marines, they were ready to send air support, and somebody in the White House or the State Department said don't. They were fired immediately. And these names can be found in Government Zero. They were found in Stop the Coming Civil War. General Carter Ham, head of the U.S. African Command. And what's ironic here is that he gave this country 26 years of service, loyal service to this country, General Carter Ham. And he was fired, even though he was an African American, by the way. There was not a note of it in the U.S. newspapers. It was a shocker. Obama also fired Rear Admiral Charles Guet, U.S. Navy, commander of the Carrier Strike Group 3, deputy commander of U.S. Naval Forces, U.S. Central Command, in charge of aircraft carriers in the Mediterranean Sea the night of the Benghazi assault on September 11, 2012. Did you hear this? What happened? What happened? Why was he fired? Do you know why Obama got rid of this hero? You're not going to believe what I'm about to tell you to show you how corrupt this president is. He was fired for using profanity in a public setting and making two racially insensitive comments. And, of course, he was cleared of any criminal violations under the Uniform Court of Military Justice. But this corrupt, evil president threw out this great American hero who commanded the U.S. Naval Forces in charge of aircraft carriers in the Mediterranean Sea the night of the Benghazi assault. They got rid of him. Now, if I were running those hearings, I would bring him under testimony. I'd make him swear in a Bible. And I would protect him any way I could. But I'd make him testify that he was told to stand down. Major General Ralph Baker, U.S. Army. Commander of the Joint Task Force Horn at Camp Lamar in Djibouti, Africa. He was involved in some aspect of the Benghazi incident. He was relieved of command and fired by Obama for allegedly groping a civilian. Allegedly groping a civilian. But no assault charges or sexual misconduct charges were ever filed with military JAG officials. Again, a purge like that of Stalin. I have all the names. I've given you three. Ham, Goet, and Baker. That's enough for today. I would bring any one of them up there and ask them to say who told them to stand down. Was it the State Department? Was it the Executive Office? Which buffer in the State Department, which buffer, Mr. Cheech, was it who told you not to bring help to Benghazi? Who was the buffer? Who was the buffer, Admiral? Who was the buffer, General? What do you think? Is she doing well? Is she failing? Is she winning? How do you think the hearings are going for her? WMAL, Richard, fire away. What's your opinion of the hearings as you watch them?
How are you doing? My name is Richard, and Dr. Savage, it's truly a pleasure to speak with you.
Okay, guys, listen to me. I appreciate that, but I'm not one of those insecure talk show hosts who need to hear that. Just give us your statement or comment, please.
I'm somebody who admires and appreciates a brilliant and appreciates somebody putting themselves out there. And for that...
All right, I accept all of that. But how do you think she's doing on the panel, Richard?
I think that what is going on there is shameful.
All right, we'll have to leave it at that. Next, the call screener will ask you in advance what you think.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Doing and others, you know, we are prohibited. So it's a constant, again, it goes back to that balancing of risk and reward that we're always doing.
Going back to the ARB conducted by Admiral Mullins and Ambassador Pickering, how many of their recommendations did U.S. Secretary of State accept?
I accepted all of them. They made 29 recommendations, Congresswoman. I accepted all 29 of them.
This is a friendly questioner. This is one of the buffers that she uses. We can tune it out now. We are watching the obvious, and there's nothing new here. It's a woman with 1,000 faces. And as I said earlier on my Facebook, proving she has the number one qualification to be president. She can lie with a straight face better than anyone on the planet and keep the cat that ate the cream smile. The only thing that would save this country from the scourge of the Clintons would be to bring in General Carter Ham or General or Rear Admiral Charles Goet or Major General Ralph Baker, all fired right after Benghazi. For very suspicious reasons. We all know that they were told not to send support. We all know this. The subtext of this whole hearing is that Ambassador Stevens was let to die by Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama because he was not there to be an ambassador. He was there to take weapons that Gaddafi had left behind and bring them to Syria to give to the anti-Assad forces. That's what the subterranean internet talk is all about and has been about for 2 or 3 years. Now, you could dismiss it because you didn't read it in the Daily News if you want, but if you rely upon the New York Times or any other tabloid for your news, well, good luck to you. Now, the only thing you could save us is a surprise witness, and we're not going to get it. So I think that to make the most use of my time, we'll continue to go in and out of the hearings as they're running live right now, and you will see her getting away with virtual murder. Sitting there with the cat that ate the cream smile, which is exasperating for honest people. Honest people watch this woman lie, and they know the type. We've all gone to school with this type ever since the first grade. We can characterize her in a number of ways. Women especially know what type this is. I don't think she's as popular amongst women as you may believe. Women are far more analytical about other women than men could ever be. And they could look right through this character. They know who she is. But the issue is, did she do anything wrong? Forget whether you like her or her politics. What wrong did she actually do? What difference does it make that an ambassador and very loyal CIA and other operatives died? After all, what difference does it make? Not to her, it doesn't make any difference. I mean, if they'll kill the head of a state and wipe out a country for political gain, if they'll wreck Syria and cause millions of refugees to swarm across the globe, what difference does it make if an ambassador got knocked off? If you want to make an omelet, you got to break a few eggs. What difference does it really make when you're Madame Zhu and life has no value to you except your own value whatsoever? So I think the best thing to do is talk about Sidney Blumenthal. Who is Sidney Blumenthal? He's the snake that keeps getting mentioned. Sidney Blumenthal is a former low-level journalist, a creep of the lowest order who couldn't get a real job. So he became a journalist, then went and ingratiated himself with Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, worked for them for years, ingratiated himself with George Soros and Media Matters, that group. And he's been a smear artist for them for years. A hatchet man, a smear artist. But what we're about to disclose for you on the show today is worth your listening to. Patrick Howley of Breitbart actually did the research on this. And secret advisor Blumenthal's business plans for Libya were exposed by him. He got them from the Benghazi Committee Chairman Rep. Trey Gowdy. I don't know if you're going to hear any of this today because I haven't heard it yet. But they found it. And it was from the new Clinton email dump. Blumenthal was feeding Clinton private intelligence on Libya. Right? And what was Blumenthal doing? Obama, by the way, was opposed to deposing Gaddafi. Did you know that? Obama and his aides were opposed to deposing or killing Gaddafi. He didn't want to do it. It was Hillary who led the charge. She wanted Gaddafi dead and gone. And at the same time she wanted Gaddafi in Libya dead and gone, the snake Blumenthal, who was advising her to knock off Gaddafi, Gowdy wrote this, at the same time Blumenthal was pushing Clinton to war in Libya, he was privately pushing a business interest of his own in Libya that stood to profit from contracts with the new Libyan government, a government that would exist only after a successful U.S. intervention in Libya that deposed Gaddafi. Now, Blumenthal denied through his lawyer that he was on the payroll of the military consulting firm Osprey Global Solutions, which was looking to expand its business in Libya with the post-Gaddafi transitional government. I'll read you more from this incredible article by Patrick Howley, how Blumenthal, who pushed for the elimination of Gaddafi, against Obama's wishes, by the way, what he was to gain from it. And then you'll find a little bit more about Sidney Blumenthal. He has a son named Max, an all-around self-hating Jew, who hates the state of Israel. Sidney Blumenthal has a son named Max Blumenthal, who is a foaming mad, self-hating Jew, according to those who've studied everything he's written and done. Max Blumenthal, his psychotic offspring, in my opinion, has compared Israel to Nazi Germany and has called for the expulsion of the Jews from Israel. Is that what you want advising the President of the United States? This is the Savage Nation. Let's take some calls. Jason on KSFO, fire away, you're on the show.
Yeah, Dr. Savage, good afternoon. I just wanted to make a point here. You hit the nail on the head before when you said that Fox News is against Obama, or I'm sorry, forgive me, against the Republican Party. Obama actually stated previously, and I don't know if it was a 2008 or 2012 election or campaign, that they're like a wrestling match, you know, like WWE, where they have both, but they have the same agenda at the end of the day. And I believe that Romney was ousted because he was too strong. He was a buff man.
Let's not go into Romney. That's irrelevant. We're not talking about Mitt Romney right now. What did you call about?
I just I want to validate, I want to tell you, Doctor, you're not the only one with the platform. I'm not as educated as you are, but I...
All right, thanks for the call. Again, a mumble job. The callers now are all over the map. I don't even know how they're getting on the show. How is Hillary doing? Is there a woman in the audience who wants to comment on this? Cynthia, SBA Radio in Pennsylvania. Cynthia, how is Hillary doing?
Thank you, Dr. Savage. I have not been watching it. I've just been fuming. I had an idea today, and I called my representative, Scott Perry.
Wait, ma'am, you haven't watched the hearings at all?
Committee, give...
Ma'am, have you watched the hearings at all?
I'm sorry, I have not, Dr. Savage.
All right, thanks for the call. I'm sorry. I've asked for people who are watching the hearings how they're doing. I have no idea who's getting on the show here. So I'll read this something. I read you something I can control because I cannot control the calls, the callers, or the music, the sound bites. I can't control any of it. I'll read what I can control, which is my own mind. This morning, a major article came out by a major figure in the media who says we've lost the battle. This major media figure said we've lost the battle. The world is changing in ways you could never have imagined. It's a lead article on WorldNet Daily. I've linked it up on michaelsavage.com. And here's what this media figure wrote. He said, a major battle in a war over the future of Western civilization has been lost as millions of migrants from the Middle East who largely oppose Judeo-Christian values and have no intention of assimilating flood the United States, Britain, France, Germany, and other nations. This far-seeing media figure said he received an email from someone he described as far smarter than I and far-seeing. And he said to me, it's over. Paraphrasing the email, the media giant said that what German Chancellor Angela Merkel is doing to Germany, what the weakling is doing to England, what the socialist is doing to France, what Obama the psychopath is doing to America, will render this country non-existent in less than 50 years. And I said to him, maybe you're right, maybe you're wrong. But the fact of the matter is, the world is changing in ways you could never have imagined. The media figure later affirmed to a caller that he hasn't given up. Noting that he presents in his upcoming book, Government Zero, 40 Actions to Save America. We haven't lost the war. The war has just begun, said Savage, because 30 million to 40 million Americans are finally awakened to what the psychopath has done to this country, and they want to stop him from doing more damage. They want to stop him before it's too late. Savage criticized President Obama, British PM Cameron, Chancellor Merkel, other Western leaders with a provocative comparison he recognized could be misunderstood. They are doing, he said, what Adolf Hitler did in reverse. Instead of invading other countries, they are letting foreigners invade their own nations. Savage said Hitler was a psychopath who invaded other countries to impose his nations, let us say, his distorted values and race on other countries. What is Obama doing? Savage asked. He's invading his own country with people of other races and other cultures and other languages to wipe away the predominant language, the predominant culture of his own nation. He is equally evil. Write it down, Savage said. Maybe you'll make it to the news media. Talk show host says Obama as crazy as Hitler because he's invading his own country. But they better get the whole quote correct, and I don't know if they're capable of it. Savage said Merkel is invading Germany with foreigners. She's invading her own nation. Regarding the war for Western civilization, which was built largely on English common law, Judeo-Christian morality, and the uniquely American principles of individualism and self-reliance, Savage also referenced the Cultural Revolution of the 1960s. Some 50 years later, he said, can anyone say that has worked out well? And if I remember, I then read about sex change operations in Jerry Brown's prisons being paid for by taxpayers. This is the Savage Nation. The phone number here is 855-407-282. WABC Dennis, how is Hillary doing is the main question. Your opinion counts.
Well, my opinion is based on what I've seen from Hillary today. I listened to
another winning caller. Thanks for the call. I'm really batting 1,000 today. It's as though I'm asking a question. I'm getting callers for another radio show. This is three in a row now. Jim, hey, Jim, attention, Jim, call screener. What's going on? Is everybody on drugs? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Every once in a while, we get a sliver of democracy. Today is one of those rare days where we're actually getting a sliver of what democracy might be like if we lived in a country that was truly democratic. And we see a hearing that's going nowhere, frankly. I'm not blaming Trey Gowdy. I'm not blaming some of these incredible Congress people on the committee. They're doing the best they can given the constraints and given the fact that the way these hearings run is that Democrats and Republicans get equal time. And of course, she has the protectors, the buffers on the other side. I think that we can make the best use of the remaining time of this show to play in and out of the hearings because they're going to be going on while we're on the air. I think they're still ongoing. But what was Sidney Blumenthal doing there? Who is he? Because this is going to come up again. And my guess is, I'm making a guess now, he is her greatest vulnerability right now. The whole world is now saying, who's Sidney Blumenthal? Why did his name come up? What was he doing with Libya? Why was he advising Hillary Clinton? He could reach her with direct emails and no one else could. What was he doing? What did he have to do with the overthrow of Gaddafi, if anything? And I believe that she's going to throw him overboard in the very near future. It's not going to happen today. My guess is that there needs to be a head on a platter. It's going to be Sidney Blumenthal's head. They're going to throw him overboard. They're going to cut him loose, and they're going to blame him for the whole fiasco, and then she'll walk away from it unscathed. It's just the way the political game called Bloodsport works. Somebody's going to pay for this, for what she's going through, and it's going to be Sidney Blumenthal. Now, Breitbart, Patrick Howley say that new emails show that Hillary Clinton helped Blumenthal's business interests in Libya. Blumenthal has denied through his lawyer that he was on the payroll of the military consulting firm Osprey Global Solutions, which wanted to expand its business in Libya after Gaddafi was killed. And they say this. Blumenthal pushed on at least one occasion to get funding for the group's projects and promoted to Hillary Clinton, a Libyan government advisor, that Osprey was trying to win over for private dealings. The new emails reveal that Blumenthal and the other two sources feeding Clinton intelligence on Libya were all acting as, quote, honest brokers for Osprey Consulting to get a government contract in Libya, and Clinton was willing to help them out. Now, who is Osprey Consulting? Well, it's a new one. Osprey is headed by former General David Grange, former head of Delta Force, Blumenthal wrote to Clinton. And he said, quote, Osprey will provide field medical help, military training, organized supplies and logistics to the TNC. This is a private contract. It does not involve NATO. The TNC wants to demonstrate that they are pro-U.S. They see this as a significant way to do that. They are enthusiastic about this arrangement. It went on and it said, Tyler, Cody, and I acted as honest brokers putting this arrangement together through a series of connections linking the Libyans to Osprey and keeping it moving. Blumenthal wrote, referring to former ACI agent Tyler Drumheller and Cody Shearer, Blumenthal's top two sources for the intelligence he sent to Hillary Clinton. Is this too obscure for most listeners? I hope it isn't. Always follow the money. Never, ever forget the primary rule of politics is about power, and power is always about money. That's all it is. If you study gangs, whether in America or elsewhere, you'll see that they're driven only by one element. Money. And money translates, power translates to money. It's no different than the government. Power equals money. It's that simple. Clinton forwarded the email to our State Department aide, Jacob Sullivan, instructing Sullivan to read the email and discuss with me at hotel. She replied to Blumenthal, assuring him that she would call him tomorrow for follow-up. And she said, just met with TNC again. That's the new government of Libya, I believe. But sign no contracts. Thanks, Clinton wrote. But Sidney the Snake Blumenthal kept sending Clinton briefings promoting Osprey Global Solutions, according to Gowdy. This is the subtext of the hearings today. Watch Sidney Blumenthal's star fall, is my guess.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I have said before, and I will repeat again, Sid Blumenthal was not my advisor, official or unofficial, about Libya. He was not involved in any of the meetings, conversations, other efforts to obtain information in order to act on it. On occasion, I did forward what he sent me.
We got the pictures. The Godmother Part 1, she has plenty of buffers to back up her statements. The question to the American people is she winning or losing? It's clear she's winning. She's outplayed everyone. By having delayed this hearing until after becoming a candidate for president, Hillary has been able to convince the left-wing media and the majority of the left that this is a political attack. The average moron out there, meaning the general public, merely feeds off of the media, and they're already tired of hearing about emails. Even Bernie Sanders was told to use that as a laugh line. And they've tuned out. They don't really care about Benghazi, whether you know it or not. This is a big thing to the political world. It's not a big thing to the average person. And they're probably more interested in a transgendered reality show than they are in Hillary Clinton's attempts to explain away why she let the ambassador and others die. And I believe the people on the right, who probably had the best of intentions to begin with, have now had their teeth removed by arguably one of the most efficient political machines of all time in all human history. And I fear that Hillary Clinton has outplayed the right, the media, and sadly, the American people are the big losers. And I think she's coming off fairly well in this hearing. It shows on her face, except when some finally trapper, you see the cat that ate the cream expression leave. And of course, the Democrats under that creature from the Congress there, Elijah Cummings, frightening, look desperate in an attempt to make this look like a witch hunt. Their statements, their questions are weak. Their defense of her is overt and so clear. And Hillary's prepared for every question. The reality is she's not looking that bad. And the media is going to portray this as an attempt by white males to attack a poor little innocent woman. That's my opinion. If you care to comment, the phone number is 855-497-282. Please do not call the show if you haven't seen the hearings or heard them. We're asking for those of you who have watched them or are watching them what your impressions are. Now, there's a shocking email that was released. You can find a link to it at the top of the Drudge Report from, I think it's from the Daily Caller. Hillary told her daughter Chelsea that terrorists were behind the Benghazi attack the night it happened. This is a shocker. So not only does she lie to the American people, but this poor, innocent, clean, as the driven snow woman, Hillary Clinton, lied to her own daughter in an email dated September 11th, 2012. It was released today at the hearing to her own daughter. Hillary Clinton, the honest woman, asserted to her own daughter that an al-Qaeda-like group was responsible for the terrorist attacks in Benghazi, revealed just today during the testimony to the House Select Committee on Benghazi. The email was revealed by Ohio Rep. Jim Jordan, and it shows that Clinton knew early on that the attacks, which left four Americans dead, was carried out by terrorists. But as Congressman Jordan pointed out, Clinton and others in the Obama administration already begun crafting the story that the attack was spontaneous, the attackers were motivated by a YouTube video many Muslims found offensive. In the email released today, cited by Rep. Jordan, Clinton responded to her daughter Chelsea, who emailed under the pseudonym Diane Reynolds. You hear this? Her daughter had a pseudonym, Diane Reynolds. Quote, two of our officers were killed in Benghazi by an al-Qaeda-like group, Hillary wrote. But shortly before the email, after it was revealed that Stevens had been murdered in the onslaught, Clinton implied that the YouTube video had served as a motive. Clinton said in a statement shortly after Ambassador Stevens' death, some have sought to justify this vicious behavior as a response to inflammatory material posted to the Internet. Well, you know the rest of the story. The Obama administration continued for days after the attack to lie and claim that the YouTube video entitled Innocence of Muslims had sparked protests which turned violent. Critics of the administration's handling of the response to the attack assert that the YouTube video was used as political cover to protect Obama ahead of the election. Congressman Jordan today compared Clinton's disparate positions, asserting that she knew the truth, but insisted on casting some blame on the video. Okay, you got the picture. Oh, she's lying. I'm shocked. Okay? Are you shocked that Hillary's lying? Are you kidding me? There's more you can read on your own if you want to link to the Daily Caller and Top of Drudge. The ins and outs of it, you know, it's all too political for the average person. The average person's getting a haircut, going bowling, sitting on a lawn chair. I don't know what people are doing in the country, but they don't care. This is political insider stuff. And the Democrats are going to say it's poor, innocent Hillary, the woman, being attacked by evil white males. And we spent too much money on it. $4 million to get to the bottom of this. Why that money could have better been spent on transgendered surgery in California's prisons. Just think of the poor transgendered prisoners who are laying awake at night wishing they were women. That money could have been used to surgically turn them into women in our prisons. Just think of the waste of money. Well, you get the picture. There's no point in going into it in any greater detail. I think it's over. I think she comes out the winner. And I think the Republicans have egg all over their face. It's not that they're bad people. It's not that they're stupid. I didn't say any of that. The fact of the matter is, I don't even know why they went ahead with the hearings. If they really didn't have a smoking gun, and they weren't able to get any of the witnesses that I suggested be brought forward this afternoon, who were fired, General Carter Ham, Rear Admiral Charles Guett, even Major General Baker, who were all fired right after Benghazi. They know the truth. They know who told them not to, who told them to stand down. But apparently they're not going to be called, and if they didn't have them, they shouldn't have had these hearings. I have no idea why they went ahead with them. You know, there's an old rule. I mean, don't pick a fight unless you know you're going to win it. How did they expect to win this fight if they have no smoking gun? Could anyone explain to me why they went ahead with this hearing? Anybody? Does anyone think she's doing poorly? Mike on KSFO, you think Hillary's doing poorly? Why do you say that?
Hi, doctor. She is doing poorly, and it's expressed in her face, in her guarded conversation. The story is that the left will say she hasn't got caught, and the right will say she's lying all the time. Now it's a matter of following up on all this stuff.
But you see, here's the thing, Mike. You and I both know how dangerous she is. What an overt monster she is. We know her history for 8 years. She's not an unknown quantity. And we would expect to not like her. And then the Democrats would expect to continue to love her and worship her. But how is she playing with the average person out there is the question.
Well, an adult would, I mean, you and I both have kids. An adult would know when a kid is lying. And that they're, you know, Republicans are adults and Democrats, I don't know what Democrats are,
All right, so but we know she's lying, but that's her stock in trade. What's new about that? They would say, so what's new about that? Republicans lie, too. Tell us about the first thing you're going to say is Bush lied about weapons of mass destruction. You know that that's going to be the answer, right?
From the mainstream media.
From the average person out there. They're going to say, well, Bush lied, too. What's the difference? But she's more progressive. She's like us. She's for gay rights, pot rights, Muslim rights. You know, you get the picture. Oh, sorry, global warming has to be in there. That's important. Legalizing drugs, criminalizing anyone who shows scientific evidence that, you know, the whole picture. How do you feel about the Hillary play right now? Is the Hillary play working well for her? You think she's going to get away with it? Let's go to the big signal in Detroit, WJR Wayne. How do you feel she's faring?
I think she's doing actually pretty well to the average American. She's been cool, calm, and collect throughout all of the questions. She was very well rehearsed for this. She has danced and walked around each question. This has been a complete waste of time. This has been a dog and pony show for the American people and for the Republicans.
Now, are you a Democrat or a Republican, Wayne?
I am a Republican for the most part.
But you feel, as I do, that this committee should have not pursued these hearings?
Not at all. This is a waste of time. They were hoping to call Hillary's bluff. Like you said, why show up to a fight you can't win? They were hoping for one lucky punch, and they failed miserably.
Wow. Boy, Wayne, I'm sending you my book, Government Zero, because you know what you're talking about. I mean, it'd be easy for me to get up here and say she's terrible, she looks awful, she's losing, she's not going to win. That would be stupid. One thing you can get out of me is at least my real opinion. Whether you agree with it or not, I'm going to give you the honest opinion. Here I am saying she's winning. How do you like that? Would you have expected me to say that today? I mean, I started out sarcastically, which is somewhat my stock and trade. I put it on my Facebook, and about 10,000 people reacted within an hour. And here's what I wrote. Proving she has the number one qualification to be president, she can lie with a straight face better than anyone on the planet and keep the cat that ate the cream smile. Doesn't that say it all? All right, Government Zero goes out to you. And remember, folks, the book comes out Tuesday. It's jumped to number one under politics on Amazon already, which is pretty good given that I'm blacklisted in the media. You know I'm blacklisted, don't you? You didn't know that? Have you heard Rush mention Michael Savage? Have you heard anyone in the Rush cartel mention Michael Savage's book? No, the same cartel that wouldn't acknowledge I was banned in Britain. Don't blame me for that. Rush wouldn't mention any competition. This shows you how fair-minded he is. When I was banned in Britain in 2009, he did not do anything. He did not come to my aid. You talk about Benghazi? Tell me the name of the conservatives in the media who came to my aid when I was banned in Britain. You can list them on one hand. Actually, you can list them on less than one hand. Yeah, and now I protected Rush when he was falsely accused of the drug thing with the Viagra. I took his side. I've always taken the side of people unfairly attacked. I can't say the same for my competitors. You should know that I can officially declare that I am blacklisted by the American media. As well as Britain, I am banned by the American media. It's hard to believe that a man who has been on the air for 21 years with one bestseller after another knocked out of the Yankee Stadium, they die for authors who you've never heard of, right? Ask yourself why Murdoch's Minions or Roger Ailes' Chorus Line has been told they cannot have me on Fox News. CNN, you'd have figured they wouldn't be me on. MSNBC, of course not. But Fox News is your channel, isn't it? I am officially blacklisted everywhere. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
What kind of culture was created in the State Department that your folks couldn't tell you in an email about a bomb in April of 2012?
Well, Congresswoman, I did not conduct most of the business that I did on behalf of our country on email. I conducted it in meetings. I read massive amounts of memos, great deal of classified information. I made a lot of secure phone calls. I was in and out of the White House.
Okay, we got it. There's nothing in writing, and she has buffers, okay? I think it's worthy of playing the buffer piece again from Godfather 1, because this is right out of a movie. I did not conduct my business by email in this age. I conducted it verbally. That's what the mafia did. They put their hand next to their mouth and use a toothpick as they walk between parked cars and mumble to each other. Who doesn't conduct business by emails other than someone hiding something? But that's irrelevant. What's relevant is that you have a drugged generation that doesn't know that they're looking at a complete fabrication of a human being. Someone who has apparently spent a fortune having her face redesigned to look cheerful to the average moron out there. My, she's good. She looks good for a woman her age. Look at those cheeks of hers. How much do you think those cheeks cost? And the cackle that puts the fear of God into a giraffe. It's unbelievable to me, but okay. Look, I would say if I was running it as a movie, I'll repeat it one more time. I'd call General Carterham, Admiral Chauguet, those who were fired right after Benghazi by Obama, because they would tell us whether they were ready to send aid. And what's this? Why are we having a Benghazi hearing altogether? You have to ask yourself, what's this about? Why is it so important to the average person? All right, an ambassador died. They do get, you know, in these third world hellholes, things happen. So what's this got to do with her? What is the big deal after all, she said. What difference does it make, she said. Well, aside from the fact that it's four human lives, but that means nothing when you're willing to blow up a country and kill a leader for personal gain. I mean, what's the difference with four people? What does that mean? But why would it matter to the American electorate what she did or didn't do in Benghazi, Libya? They don't even know what Benghazi is. They know that she's in favor of the things that they've been brainwashed to believe are important. She's not a man, and those are reasons enough to vote for her. Just that she's not a man, and that she repeats the pap of the left is enough. I don't know what to tell you at this point. I don't think I'm going to continue with this, but I will turn to Canada for 1 minute. They just elected a complete moron, a leftist moron, a good-looking leftist moron, if you call that look good. His father was Pierre Trudeau. Pierre Trudeau was a lunatic leftist playboy. A friend of mine is Canadian. He said that Pierre Trudeau ruined Canada starting in 1968. At that time, the dollar, the Canadian dollar, was at 103 U.S. And then the father of this loony turned Canada into a socialist nightmare for business. Regulation, taxation. Pierre Trudeau grew up very wealthy, used to ride on Montreal with a German army helmet on during World War II. He was a Marxist and wrote for the Canadian Communist newspaper. He spent time in the communist bloc, Bloc Populaire, helping to undermine the war effort. That's the father. And like the communists at the time, he apparently believed Hitler wasn't that bad. Pierre Trudeau's son, Justin, was a drama teacher. Drama teacher. He's now running Canada. And what is the first thing that this lunatic leader of Canada, great nation, my mother was Canadian by birth, by the way, what is the first thing he said he's going to do? He's going to push global warming, bring in more Muslims from Syria. God knows what else he will do, but that's exactly what Hillary Clinton's going to do in this country. The very same left-wing platform that tens of millions of brainwashed individuals have been led to believe is important is what she is going to do to this country. So if you want to see a further ruination of everything decent in the country, a further dissolution of your borders, a bastardization of your language, the decimation of your culture, go ahead, make her day and vote for her. I'm totally opposed to her. I won't go so far as to say I'll leave the country if she wins, but there's nowhere to run. If there was, I would leave. Tell me where to move.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
All right, folks. I think there's one other fact that's worth noting. The chief witness for this hearing did not attend. His name was Sidney Blumenthal. He is the serpent behind this entire hearing. And Chairman Gowdy said that Blumenthal has stonewalled the committee. And he said that federal marshals appeared at Blumenthal's house to serve him with a subpoena. Blumenthal denies that. Gowdy wrote to Cummings the following. Committee staff called Blumenthal directly to discuss with him the possibility of appearing before the committee in a transcribed interview. Committee staff left the message with Blumenthal's wife and asked him to call back. But Blumenthal never did, ignoring the committee's request to speak with him. Chairman Gowdy was forced to use the U.S. Marshals Service to serve him with a subpoena, which Gowdy described as standard operating procedure. And Gowdy's committee released 500 pages of Blumenthal's emails and 1,500 emails within 5 days. But Blumenthal himself did not appear today. He is the linchpin of this entire hearing. Why? Who is he? Why does it matter? The best article on this was written by Patrick Howley of Breitbart, where it is revealed that although he had never been to Libya himself, although he knew nothing about Libya, he was involved with a consulting firm that was pushing Clinton to war in Libya and at the same time privately pushing a business interest of his own in Libya that stood to profit from contracts with the new Libyan government, a government that would exist only after a successful U.S. intervention in Libya that deposed Gaddafi. Now, I want to pause right here. Assuming this is all true. Now, Blumenthal has denied through his lawyer that he was on the payroll of the military consulting firm Osprey Global. But that unto itself means nothing. I'm trying to imagine a leftist listening to this show, a liberal, let's say, who is a diehard, dyed-in-the-wool liberal, but still in all wants some kind of fairness, no matter where it comes down. As they're listening to me talk about this character, Blumenthal, and his alleged ties to a consulting firm that would have profited is the word I'm looking for, in a business interest, only after Gaddafi was deposed, does that not bother you? Put Hillary Clinton aside for a minute. Is that not, in your mind, beyond comprehension of the way a democracy should operate? That the corruption is that rampant under Barack Obama that a man could help overthrow a government just to benefit afterwards? Does that not bother you? It bothers me. Blumenthal kept sending Clinton briefings promoting Osprey Global Solutions, according to Chairman Gowdy. And it went on and on. Blumenthal got through to Clinton over and over again. And by the way, Hillary Clinton deleted his name from every email that came from him. She took out the name Sidney Blumenthal or whatever his tagline was. But she got every email he ever sent. She got them immediately, while the man who was killed could only reach her through buffers. Why? So I'll rest my delivery, and I will ask you, the listener who may be watching the hearings, they're going to come back up in a minute or two, 5 minutes. The hearings are going to resume shortly, although I think it's a given that she's won. She's won in the sense that they haven't nailed it to a cross in plain English. I mean, let's be clear. What is the object of a congressional hearing? It's somewhat to get to the truth. It's grandstanding. I'm a realist. Put aside that I'm an arch conservative, if you want to call me that. I'm really something else, but it doesn't matter what you define me as. It depends upon the situation. I'm a borders language culture guy. I don't know, however you define that. I would say I'm more of a nationalist than anything else. I don't even like the word conservative. I think it's overused. It's too general and it's lost its meaning. I define myself as a nationalist. But put aside how I define myself. Let's say you're an average person listening to me. And you really don't like my politics, but you like the type of personality I am, where I'm a bulldog trying to get to the truth. And you watch this serial liar up there, Hillary Clinton, and then you hear behind it all is this guy, Sidney Blumenthal. How do you feel about that today? Does it affect you in any way? Does it make you want something that you're not getting? Are you happy with the country under Barack Obama? And I think all of this goes to the key question. And that key question, you're going to be shocked when I tell you this. The key question is, what does this really mean? And I'm going to give you the answer from an odd source. It's not from my book, Government Zero. It's from the liberal publication Time Magazine, which I got, I don't know, the other day, October 19th, 2015. I think that's the year we're in. And it's called Exodus. And it shows all the Syrian refugees walking through a field. Camera hard focused on women and children, not the military age men who are pouring into Europe. And then you open up the centerfold and it lays out clearly this, and I was shocked that they would do this. How the Arab Spring and civil wars led to Europe's refugee crisis. I was shocked that they would know and they would care to denote that it was Hillary Clinton who brought about Europe's refugee crisis. I would have thought that would have come up today. That's what I wanted to hear today. Somebody, one of the geniuses, former prosecutors on the Republican side saying, Mrs. Clinton, are you aware that your Arab Spring, as well-intentioned as it was, has led to the Europe's refugee crisis? How hard is that to say? I just said it in about 10 seconds. Here it is in Time magazine. They trace it right back to Tunisia. In the month of December 2010, protests in Tunisia marked the beginning of the Arab Spring. Uprising to see leaders ousted from power in Tunisia, Egypt, Libya, and Yemen. Demonstrations largely subside by 2012, but evolve into still ongoing civil wars in Syria and Libya. Now, they don't tell you who pushed the Arab Spring, who funded it, who was the architect of it. I studied this in great detail. I'm very excited right now because this is the key point of it, and it didn't come up once yet. That's because I'm not a congressman. I should be on that committee. Guess the only thing I would have asked, and I would have done it in 15 seconds. Madam Secretary, are you aware that your Arab Spring led to Europe's greatest refugee crisis? And I would have gone silent after 15 seconds. And I would have seen her answer to that. But they didn't ask her that. And because they won't ask her that, I'm starting to get a sneaky feeling that the whole committee hearing is somewhat staged, that they're all in on it together. Because nothing's coming of this. This is all sound and fury. It's not even much fury. It's just meaningless. It's drivel. Do you get what I'm saying to you? There's an old saying in politics that I heard many years ago during the era of the 60s, that when the Democrats and Republicans are agreeing or getting along, you can be sure of one thing, which is that the American people are being screwed. There's something wrong with this picture. there are not enough fireworks, and the fundamental question is not being asked. Because it really isn't about Ambassador Stevens, is it? It's really about how Libya came to be destroyed. And it's Hillary Clinton's fingerprints all over. Has Hillary Clinton's fingerprints all over it. George Soros funded this. I studied this. If you doubt me, I invite you to read about it in Government Zero. I have a whole chapter in here that describes this. George Soros, the best I could tell, funded the Arab Spring. Zbigniew Brzezinski wrote it up. I'm doing this in broad strokes. Hillary Clinton acted it out. Do you know any of this? Are you aware that they created the greatest refugee crisis the world has seen since World War II? That there is a reason this happened? The Arab Spring did it? And it's their hands all over this? That's what these hearings should have been about. Unintended consequences. Chaos in Libya. Flight to Kurdistan. EU Home Affairs Commissioner Cecilia Malmström, another good Swedish liberal, says Europe must offer safe and legal routes to asylum seekers. Rise of ISIS. On and on it goes. President Barack Obama with his false war against ISIS. He's gotten away with that. Over a year and a half and he hasn't destroyed them? What a commander-in-chief he is. This guy couldn't lead a Boy Scout troop through a forest in New Jersey. A year and a half with the most powerful military on earth, and it took Russia to come in to do any damage at all to ISIS? Battle of Kobani. 400,000 Syrian Kurds flee to Turkey. Italy ends Mare Nostrum. 800 migrants die on April 19th. Hungary is overrun. No, should I talk about Merkel? Merkel, who was invading her own nation, a madwoman invading Germany with people who will never adapt, says her nation will offer temporary asylum to Syrian refugees. Temporary asylum. And what is she going to do when Syria is stabilized by Russia? Is she going to deport them? Or she'll say that that's illiberal of her. 630,000 illegal border crossings into Europe by October of this year. That's what's known, 630,000. That is the background for these hearings. And yet, not one of these congressmen brought this up during the Benghazi hearing. So I find it very suspicious that they have not done so. And as I said to you, it means that there's something going on between the parties. They worked something out here. Something's wrong with the picture. And they're covering up the entire refugee crisis, which is intimately tied in with the Benghazi hearings, yet it hasn't come up yet. So, look, I'll take some callers on this. I'll give away copies of Government Zero, which I'm going to do all of next week when the book hits the bookshelves on Tuesday. Those of you who are loyalists and want to send a message to the government media complex, I know are going to go out and buy multiple copies. I don't even have to ask you again. I'm not concerned about it. But I'm going to tell you that this is a big deal. This Benghazi thing is not going where it should go. It should have been about the European, the Muslim refugee crisis, or they call it Europe's refugee crisis. It's really not Europe's refugee crisis. It's all tied into Benghazi. How is she doing is what I asked you. Is she winning or losing? David on WABC, what's your opinion? Is she winning or losing during these hearings?
I believe it's a draw. I'm watching the testimony. I don't think she's a winner. I think she comes out shady, sly, conniving, not genuine, fishy, any type of word you want to use. She's definitely not a winner. The Republicans definitely could have done, like you said, quick, pointed questions that, you know, nail it. They didn't do that. You know, people don't have attention span for their long, long, multiple parts of their questions, you know, just to paint her in a certain picture. We know she didn't care, whatever it is. But I do believe that the one positive, hopefully, if Donald Trump decides just to send out one tweet with one pointed question, will have more influence than all the testimony.
Okay, so what would that tweet be?
Question you just poised right now before about the refugees. Makes the correlation. That will do more.
So you're saying, well, so my tweet is more important than Donald Trump's tweet right now.
He uses your refugees.
I mean, he has a bigger audience, but what would that tweet be? Tell me what it is. I'll put it up on my own Twitter account. Go ahead, tell it to me.
How her Libya screw up enabled the Arab Spring, all that screw up enabled the refugee crisis.
Right. In other words, Okay, so I'm going to put that up on Facebook and Twitter the minute I go to break. I'll be right back. Hold it. Send them a copy of Government Zero. You win the prize. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COI. So as the last segment came to conclusion, a caller said he would have asked the one question that nobody asked yet today at this hearing. And that is, Madam Secretary, are you aware that your Arab Spring idea has led to the greatest refugee crisis in the history of Europe? And go quiet. Don't sit there and grandstand. Now, there are questions that were asked that were valid, but I don't think people care that much about the Benghazi thing per se. I think they should have broadened it. See, here's the problem. The hearings have been planned for 17 months, and the guys who put this together are still functioning in the past. There's not one question about Arab Spring, Libya, refugee crisis. Remember, the route from Africa runs from Libya to Europe. By overthrowing Gaddafi, they opened up the doors to the African migrants that are pouring into Europe, in that case. Fingerprints of Soros and Hillary Clinton are all over that. Why has that not come up? Arab Spring, Arab Spring, Arab Spring, Arab Spring. No one's mentioned it once, have they? Anyone listening to this show, tell me, have you heard one question asked of Hillary Clinton about her Arab Spring concept? There was a hint around it, near it, where she said, they had the first free election in history, and we love the election, and we love democracy. Nonsense, like a child answering a question. They should have said, excuse me, but what about the refugee crisis that it caused? But they didn't do it. Because I think they're all in on the same game here, frankly. It's very depressing. If you want to know the truth, it's nothing. It's smoke and mirrors, is what it comes down to. There's nothing here. I mean, they ask questions, unanswered questions. Why was the U.S. in Libya to begin with? Why were security requests denied? Why was the military not ready to respond quickly on the 11th anniversary of 9/11? Why did the Obama administration change his story about the nature of the attacks in the weeks afterwards? I don't think they got the answer out of her. She addressed some of these questions early on, and she gave the standard answer that she's always given. The world is a dangerous place. Perfect security can never be achieved. She mentioned Beirut, where more Americans were killed. And then she said, we want to make sure this doesn't happen again. That's the standard government answer. Yes, we're sorry it happened, and we're trying to study it and find out how to make sure it never happens again. No one ever loses their job. Can you imagine if you worked for a company and you did something like this? Would you lose your job? Sure you'd lose your job. Not in the government. Not in the government. Meanwhile, in other news of the day, Iowa poll, Ben Carson surges past Donald Trump in latest Iowa poll. Now, I wouldn't pay too much attention to that because Iowa is a very odd place. I don't even know if I have an affiliate in Iowa. I hope I do. I know I do. I'm joking. But the fact is that Iowa is not America. Iowa is a very interesting small sliver of America. And I wouldn't overemphasize the surge of Ben Carson in one little poll in one state. I wouldn't put too much stock in that. And we'll have Donald Trump on the show in the near future, I'm sure. And we'll talk again with Donald. And I hope he's in it for the long haul. I hope that they keep him up, they stays up there, can has the stamina for it, and he wins the nomination. And that it's him versus Hillary. Because that'll be a real contest. And I'm not sure of the outcome, by the way. I know it'll be a real contest. Any other Republican, it won't be a real contest. Because she's got the machine behind her, much more powerful than any of the other candidates on the Republican side. If Trump's the Republican nominee, and it's Trump versus Hillary Clinton, it'll be a real battle royale. And after watching her today, I think it's going to be a very close call as to who wins. She is the smoothest liar I have ever seen in my whole life, which gives her the number one qualification for being the office holder of the highest position in the land.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is The Savage Nation. I've watched these hearings all morning, and I tweeted this today. Proves that she has the number one qualification to be president. She can lie with a straight face, can lie better than anyone on the planet, and keep the cat that ate the cream smile. I've never seen anything like this. She's out of communist China. She is such a skilled liar and rhetorician that she's suitable for the presidency of the United States post-Obama. She is perfect for the position. She can lie better than anyone. She doesn't lose her composure. And she is absolutely chilling in her delivery. She's like the Gang of Five under in China, post-Mao Zedong. In fact, you should know this. It didn't come up today, and it's an obscure point. The Chinese communists noted 5 or so years ago that Hillary Clinton was such a skilled liar as a politician, or they called her a deliverer, that they sent members of the Communist Party of China to study her delivery here in the United States of America. I believe you can research that fact and find it. She is right out of the communist playbook. She cannot be moved. And I would ask you today, if you've watched the hearings, here's the question for you. Do you think Hillary looks better or worse today? Do you think Hillary is winning or losing today? Because that's all that matters. The truth doesn't matter. The truth is gone. The truth is dead with Ambassador Stevens. We know what she did. We know that she paid no attention to him and the Marines who were guarding him. We know that he was whacked because he was moving weapons from Libya, meaning Gaddafi's stockpile, to Syria to give to the anti-Assad forces. That's not well documented, but it's documented well enough for people to conclude that that's exactly why Stevens was let to die. Now, I have another revelation for you on the show, which is this. I have the names of all the generals and admirals who were fired by Obama right after the disaster in Benghazi. I have all their names, and I am surprised that they were not called today, because none of them are in the military, to testify that they were ready, willing, and able to send aid and support to save Ambassador Stevens and those CIA and other contractors who were protecting him. They were fired right after Benghazi, and I figured out why. I discussed it in my last book, Stop the Coming Civil War. For those of you who have the book, you can research it. Their names are in there. But I go farther in Government Zero, and I'm not going to talk about the book. I'm going to be talking about Hillary Clinton's capacity for getting away with virtual murder and why she will be the most dangerous president of all, far worse than Barack Obama. If you think that Obama is bad, and bad is he, wait until you see what she's going to do. This hearing is far more important than you may imagine. I will say this. If I were running these hearings, I would run it like a Hollywood film. And I would, in the afternoon today of these hearings, bring in a surprise witness that would blow the hearing apart. It would bring her down. She'd be finished. And that surprise witness would have a name. I wouldn't say in general. It would be General Carter Ham of the U.S. Army. It would be Rear Admiral Charles Guet, commander of Carrier Strike Group 3, who was fired by Obama right after Benghazi. It would be Carter Ham, who was the head of the United States African Command during the bloodshed in Benghazi, Libya, when Stevens and others were killed by Muslims. General Ham was extremely critical of Barack Obama because Obama would not let him send reinforcements to help the U.S. citizens under attack in Benghazi. He was then fired in April 2013. I have all the names of all the surprise witnesses who I would have brought to testify today as to why they were told or who told them and when they were told not to send reinforcements and who fired them. You're not going to hear any of these men. I believe they don't want to take a walk in Marcy Park. They don't want to wind up floating in a river in Washington. Many of you don't know who Sidney Blumenthal is. He's an all-around serpent. Sidney Blumenthal is a former failed reporter who went to work for the Clinton hit machine. Sidney Blumenthal worked with Media Matters to destroy anyone on the conservative side. But worse than that, let's forget that he's just a political operative of the lowest kind. Blumenthal had business plans for Libya post-Gaddafi that will blow you off the planet. When you find out what Sidney Blumenthal's private business interests in Libya were to have been. These are bombshell revelations by the House Benghazi Committee Chairman Representative Trey Gowdy today. You're not going to believe what those business interests were. And then you have to ask yourself, was Hillary going to benefit from these private business interests? I want to talk about Sidney Blumenthal's business interests in Libya that underlie these hearings. He was going to make a fortune. And she was smoothing the skids for him to make a fortune, which indicates that some of that money was going to flow outside of Sidney's hands somewhere else. I think you can put two and two together. Sidney Blumenthal is one of the worst people in the history of the United States of America. In any other time, he would have been indicted by now. Sidney Blumenthal is a cohort of George Soros. Sidney Blumenthal is a cohort of the Stalinists in Media Matters. I have good evidence, although I cannot prove it, that Sidney Blumenthal's fingerprints are all over my having been banned in Britain in 2009. I cannot prove it. I can only allege it. I'm not going to talk about being banned in Britain. As the only member of the American media who cannot enter Britain, it's Michael Savage, and I'm proud of it. I'm very proud of it. Apparently, they only permit Islamists to enter Britain right now. Only Islamists need apply, or Syrian refugees need apply, but I cannot go there. But the fact of the matter is, there's Hillary Clinton, sitting there with aplomb, the cat that ate the cream, those cheeks, the surgical cheeks. They only got to her twice today. And I saw this woman, when she was finally having to answer something that she was uncomfortable with, fall apart. You saw the face literally collapse in front of your eyes. That communist Chinese assurance, that Madame Mao look, that Madame Zhu look, disappeared only once or twice. When she was no longer in control, she went apart. You have to understand something about power. They don't let anyone near them. They let nobody near them. They're insulated by buffers. 30, 40, 50, 100 layers of buffers. Nobody gets near them. This is not Britain where they have to answer the opposition party directly as they do in England once a week, where even the prime minister answers the opposition party without a script. We live in a controlled dictatorship in this country, unlike anything you could ever imagine. So these hearings are our only look at a fragment of what democracy might actually look like. And so it's an important hearing because if they don't bring her down, and I don't think they will, she is likely to be the next president of the United States because all the money in the country wants her to be the next president. And I have heard through inside sources that that includes the owner of Fox News. That includes all of the minions of Fox News. They are all being told, they've all been told, to go soft on Hillary Clinton, go soft on illegal immigration. Do not attack her because she is the chosen one to those who own and run the News Corporation. Every once in a while, we get a sliver of democracy. Today is one of those rare days where we're actually getting a sliver of what democracy might be like if we lived in a country that was truly democratic. And we see a hearing that's going nowhere, frankly. I'm not blaming Trey Gowdy. I'm not blaming some of these incredible Congress people on the committee. They're doing the best they can given the constraints and given the fact that the way these hearings run is that Democrats and Republicans get equal time. And, of course, she has her protectors, the buffers on the other side. But what was Sidney Blumenthal doing there? Who is he? Because this is going to come up again. And my guess is, I'm making a guess now, he is her greatest vulnerability right now. The whole world is now saying, who's Sidney Blumenthal? Why did his name come up? What was he doing with Libya? Why was he advising Hillary Clinton? He could reach her with direct emails and no one else could. What was he doing? What did he have to do with the overthrow of Gaddafi, if anything? And I believe that she's going to throw him overboard in the very near future. It's not going to happen today. My guess is that there needs to be a head on a platter. It's going to be Sidney Blumenthal's head. They're going to throw him overboard. They're going to cut him loose, and they're going to blame him for the whole fiasco, and then she'll walk away from it unscathed. It's just the way the political game called Bloodsport works. Somebody's going to pay for this, for what she's going through, and it's going to be Sidney Blumenthal. Now, Breitbart, Patrick Howley say that new emails show that Hillary Clinton helped Blumenthal's business interests in Libya. Blumenthal has denied through his lawyer that he was on the payroll of the military consulting firm Osprey Global Solutions, which wanted to expand its business in Libya. After Gaddafi was killed, And they say this. Blumenthal pushed on at least one occasion to get funding for the group's projects and promoted to Hillary Clinton, a Libyan government advisor, that Osprey was trying to win over for private dealings. The new emails reveal that Blumenthal and the other two sources feeding Clinton intelligence on Libya were all acting as, quote, honest brokers for Osprey Consulting to get a government contract in Libya, and Clinton was willing to help them out. Now, who is Osprey Consulting? Well, it's a new one. Osprey is headed by former General David Grange, former head of Delta Force, Blumenthal wrote to Clinton. And he said, quote, Osprey will provide field medical help, military training, organized supplies and logistics to the TNC. This is a private contract. It does not involve NATO. The TNC wants to demonstrate that they are pro-U.S. They see this as a significant way to do that. They are enthusiastic about this arrangement. It went on and it said, Tyler, Cody, and I acted as honest brokers putting this arrangement together through a series of connections linking the Libyans to Osprey and keeping it moving. Blumenthal wrote, referring to former ACI agent Tyler Drumheller and Cody Shearer, Blumenthal's top two sources for the intelligence he sent to Hillary Clinton. Is this too obscure for most listeners? I hope it isn't. Always follow the money. Never, ever forget the primary rule of politics is about power, and power is always about money. That's all it is. If you study gangs, whether in America or elsewhere, you'll see that they're driven only by one element. Money. And money translates, power translates to money. It's no different than the government. Power equals money. It's that simple. Clinton forwarded the email to her State Department aide, Jacob Sullivan, instructing Sullivan to read the email and discuss with me at hotel. She replied to Blumenthal, assuring him that she would call him tomorrow for follow-up. And she said, just met with TNC again. That's the new government of Libya, I believe. But signed no contracts. Thanks, Clinton wrote. But Sidney the Snake Blumenthal kept sending Clinton briefings promoting Osprey Global Solutions, according to Gowdy. This is the subtext of the hearings today. Watch Sidney Blumenthal's star fall, is my guess. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. The Godmother Part 1. She has plenty of buffers to back up her statements. Question to the American people is she winning or losing? It's clear she's winning. She's outplayed everyone. By having delayed this hearing until after becoming a candidate for president, Hillary has been able to convince the left-wing media and the majority of the left that this is a political attack. The average moron out there, meaning the general public, merely feeds off of the media, and they're already tired of hearing about emails. Even Bernie Sanders was told to use that as a laugh line. And they've tuned out. They don't really care about Benghazi, whether you know it or not. This is a big thing to the political world. It's not a big thing to the average person. And they're probably more interested in a transgendered reality show than they are in Hillary Clinton's attempts to explain away why she let the ambassador and others die. And I believe the people on the right, who probably had the best of intentions to begin with, have now had their teeth removed by arguably one of the most efficient political machines of all time in all human history. And I fear that Hillary Clinton has outplayed the right, the media, and sadly, the American people are the big losers. And I think she's coming off fairly well in this hearing. It shows on her face, except when some finally trapper, you see the cat that ate the cream expression leave. And of course, the Democrats under that creature from the Congress there, Elijah Cummings, frightening, look desperate in an attempt to make this look like a witch hunt. Their statements, their questions are weak. Their defense of her is overt and so clear. And Hillary's prepared for every question. The reality is she's not looking that bad. And the media is going to portray this as an attempt by white males to attack a poor little innocent woman. That's my opinion. Now, there's a shocking email that was released. You can find a link to it at the top of the Drudge Report from, I think it's from the Daily Caller. Hillary told her daughter, Chelsea, that the terrorists, that terrorists were behind the Benghazi attack the night it happened. This is a shocker. So not only does she lie to the American people, but this poor, innocent, clean as the driven snow woman, Hillary Clinton, lied to her own daughter in an email dated September 11th, 2012. It was released today at the hearing to her own daughter. Hillary Clinton, the honest woman, asserted to her own daughter that an al-Qaeda-like group was responsible for the terrorist attacks in Benghazi, revealed just today during the testimony to the House Select Committee on Benghazi. The email was revealed by Ohio Rep. Jim Jordan, and it shows that Clinton knew early on that the attacks, which left four Americans dead, was carried out by terrorists. But as Congressman Jordan pointed out, Clinton and others in the Obama administration had already begun crafting the story that the attack was spontaneous, the attackers were motivated by a YouTube video many Muslims found offensive. In the email released today, cited by Rep. Jordan, Clinton responded to her daughter Chelsea, who emailed under the pseudonym Diane Reynolds. You hear this? Her daughter had a pseudonym, Diane Reynolds. Quote, two of our officers were killed in Benghazi by an al-Qaeda-like group, Hillary wrote. But shortly before the email, after it was revealed that Stevens had been murdered in the onslaught, Clinton implied that the YouTube video had served as a motive. Clinton said in a statement shortly after Ambassador Stevens' death, some have sought to justify this vicious behavior as a response to inflammatory material posted to the Internet. Well, you know the rest of the story. The Obama administration continued for days after the attack to lie and claim that the YouTube video entitled Innocence of Muslims had sparked protests which turned violent. Critics of the administration's handling of the response to the attack assert that the YouTube video was used as political cover to protect Obama ahead of the election. Congressman Jordan today compared Clinton's disparate positions, asserting that she knew the truth, but insisted on casting some blame on the video. Okay, you got the picture. Oh, she's lying. I'm shocked. Okay? Are you shocked that Hillary's lying? Are you kidding me? There's more you can read on your own if you want a link to the Daily Caller and Top of Drudge. The ins and outs of it, you know, it's all too political for the average person. The average person's getting a haircut, going bowling, sitting on a lawn chair. I don't know what people are doing in the country, but they don't care. This is political insider stuff. And the Democrats are going to say it's poor innocent Hillary, the woman, being attacked by evil white males, and we spent too much money on it. Just as China in the early 1900s had been imprisoned by the opium dumped on the people by the English with the American merchant seamen delivering the opium, Franklin Delano Roosevelt's maternal grandfather, Mr. Delano, was a great drug smuggler. Actually, a drug transporter, because it was legal to bring opium into China. He made his fortune on the whaling ships, bringing them to China, the opium. And they enslaved all of China with drugs. And then what happened around 1908, 1910, I don't have my... Actually, 1910, Double Ten Parade, because I've gone to the Double Ten Parade in Chinatown many times. They celebrate when the martial artists rose up and overthrew the corrupt chiefs of China, the warlords, and took China back from them. Now, of course, this country's now been drugged by the government medical complex. Children are drugged with false diagnoses such as ADD, ADHD, and they're put on crippling drugs like Ritalin, Adderall, other drugs. They're turned into little drug addicts. They are on drugs literally from infancy now. Then they go on to illegal drugs. Children are drugged to death in this country. The adults, what percent of the population is on drugs, legal or illegal? We are imprisoned with drugs in this country. We need a Double Ten parade, but I don't think we're going to get it. And now we see Madam Clinton, right out of communist China. The one question that was not asked would be, Madam Secretary Clinton, are you aware how your Arab Spring plan caused Europe's refugee crisis? Haven't heard it yet. Now, how could Gowdy not have put two and two together? They're directly related to this whole Libya thing. But she is above the law. She's part of the oligarchy. She's part of the one-party system. She has been anointed president. That's all there is to it. What do you think? Am I wrong? Am I right? KSFO, Daniel, you've watched the hearings. What do you think Hillary's performance is like? How is she doing?
It's a fascinating performance. Reminds me of Chairman Mao, the communist leader in China's wife, Jiang Qing, which there's a lot of similarities between those two ladies. And I'm very afraid that if Hillary really get elected, America will become China.
Daniel, do you have experience with the Communist Chinese government?
Yes, sir. I came from China a long time ago, as an international student. I understand the monopoly of government in China, and I also understand the system of Democratic Party. Hillary really reminds me of Jiang Qing, who is Chairman Mao's wife.
Well, you heard the allegation, the connections I made, where she reminds me of one of the Gang of Five. Remember that period in China? You know it better than I do.
Yes, sir. You hit right on the nail. It's fascinating, and a power-hungry woman wanted to overthrow the other side of government, but on the other hand, finally, the army generals put her in jail. Actually, Jiang Qing died in jail.
Of course, that could never happen here because there are no army generals. They were all purged by Stalin, Obama, Mao.
Right. Yes.
Did you hear me read the names of the generals and the admiral who were fired right after Benghazi? Did you happen to catch that part of the show?
Yes, I did.
General Carter Ham, one of the great public servants, 26 years. Very critical of Obama, was apparently ready to send help to the U.S. citizens under attack in Benghazi, was retired out of the Army in April of 2013. Rear Admiral Charles Guet, Navy. I could read the names there in Government Zero, and I'm going to send you my new book. Daniel, I made an allegation earlier in the show, and you're an expert on China. I can hear it in what you're saying. I was hoping somebody would understand the reference. I don't know when it was. I think it was 5 years ago. It could have been 8 years ago. I remember reading that the Communist Chinese were so impressed with Hillary Clinton at that time that they were sending cadres to America to study her delivery, to learn how to speak to the masses, the peasants, because she was so convincing in her delivery. Do you recall any of that, by the way, in any of your studies?
Sir, actually, China had a very good relationship with Clinton's.
Oh, yes. The head of the Democrat National Committee under Bill Clinton, his name was Schwartz. Mr. Schwartz started as a parking meter businessman in the Bronx. But Mr. Schwartz was so smart. I think his name was Bernie, by the way. Bernie Schwartz, another Bernie. Bernie wound up taking over Loral Space and Technology. And in a short period of time under Bill Clinton and the Democrat Party, he gave China the ability to launch rockets that stayed in orbit. Did you know that?
Yeah, also IBM deal, I think, has a lot to do with them as well, because IBM sold to the biggest computer company in China.
At the time China was launching rockets, I remember it very, very clearly. I was on the radio at the time. China was trying to launch rockets to launch satellites, and they couldn't get the rockets to do that. They were crashing. And with federal money that Schwartz had gotten, the technology that he developed with federal grants and contracts, he gave to China, and he said it would never be used by the People's Liberation Army. Now, we know he was lying. The People's Liberation Army used it almost immediately thereafter to launch military-grade satellites. And the rest of the history, the rest of the story is history. That was the Democrat National Committee. That's what started the China's ascension as a military power over, and beating us, by the way, at many levels. It was, in my opinion, directly related to the Clintons. Would you agree or disagree with that?
Yes, sir. I would concur 100%.
It's a pretty serious day when you consider that none of these facts are coming up in this hearing today. You notice what we're talking about, an event in Benghazi, and none of them are connecting it to the Arab Spring and the refugee crisis that has followed that. They're talking about this singular event and not relating to the bigger world events. They're not going back to this woman's dangerous history. I mean, a lot is at stake here, Daniel. You have to agree. I think that's why you bothered to call this radio show. I assume you've listened to my show before, maybe for years. This is the first time you've ever called. Am I correct?
Sir, yes. I love your show. I listen to you all the time because I travel all the time.
Let me ask you this, Daniel. I referenced the Double Ten Parade. Can you elucidate for the audience what that actually signifies? Am I correct in saying it signifies when the martial artists of China rose up against the corrupt power structure and overthrew the government of China?
Yes, it's a national pride to them. I heard you mention Opium War, that China lost Hong Kong, Macau to British and Portuguese. Those are consequences of those events. But the scary part of it, if you mention history, really scary is I wish American people go watch documentary of Jiang Qing, Chairman Mao's film. They will make a connection between Jiang Qing and Hillary.
Oh, my God. Well, no, I've got chills when I watch her, that face, that face, the dictator's face, that she just doesn't change an expression except once or twice. People would say that means she's performing well, but does that mean it's good for America? Does that mean that this is what we want for the president? It means that although we now have government zero with no borders, no language and culture, I would say that if Hillary wins, it will be less than zero. I'll have to write a sequel called Government Less Than Zero. Daniel, these are very serious times, and I think it takes a serious man like yourself who knows what communist China was, who knows that Mao Zedong killed 30 million of his own countrymen, who knows what Hillary Clinton is capable of, to call this show and send out the alarm bell. And I want to send you a copy of my brand-new book, which will be out next Tuesday, and I thank you very much for listening. Jim, please get the gentleman's name. That was a heck of a phone call, probably the best of the day, because he knows. He knows who she is. Did you hear what he said? He saw what she was. Mao's widow, don't you remember how she ran China? Hillary, similar to Mao's wife, power mad also. All right, let's go to a few other callers. We got great callers out here. WBAP in Dallas. John, you make a great point. Please state it to the audience.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I was just calling to make a comment that while I agree with you 100% that the Clintons will find a scapegoat for to cover all of this up and to blame everything on, I think Sidney Blumenthal has scapegoat insurance. He's been with the White House and been with the Clintons ever since the beginning, and he's one of the people who did the steering and the strategy during the impeachment, and he was also one of the people who went with Hillary intending to go to work for the state for the White House, and of course, as you know, the White House said no. One of the other things Sidney Blumenthal got mixed up in was, at a point in time, I don't remember when, an Air Force inspection team was inspecting the White House to ascertain how they were handling classified material, and they cited the White House for mishandling the classified material. I mean, they had top secret documents lying around on tables, and of course, Mrs. Clinton was there the entire time, so she knows the importance of classified documents.
No, I understand all of this, but Sidney Blumenthal, you made an interesting point. I think he's going to be the fall guy for a couple of reasons. His name came up too many times today for them to continue to be associated with him. People are going to keep asking, who is this guy Blumenthal? What does he have to do with this? What was he doing in Libya? We heard that he had private business plans for after the overthrow of Gaddafi. We even heard, to his credit, that Obama did not want to overthrow Gaddafi. Did you hear that part of that today?
Yes.
Obama opposed overthrowing Gaddafi, but it was Sidney Blumenthal who convinced Hillary to overthrow Gaddafi because he had business interests with the new government that would emerge. This is a shocking discovery from today's hearings. Now, if they are true, or even if they're untrue, Sidney Blumenthal is a liability to Hillary's rise to the presidency. Don't you think so?
Well, yes, I do think so. But the problem is, if they cross him, he knows every single nasty thing they've done, at least since White House days. And I would, yeah. he's...
Well, I understand that. But, you know, I don't want to say certain things on the radio. Let's put it this way. He works for them. They don't work for him. I wouldn't want to try to blackmail the Clintons. That's all I could say.
End up with your being very sick.
Well, I don't know where you'd end up. You'd probably end up teaching political science at a junior high school in Alaska, where the principal can look across the straits and see Russia. All right. Look, my friend, Government Zero goes out to you. It's a very sad day in American history that a woman of this low caliber can rise to such a high position, be called before a hearing that took 17 months to convene, and literally get away with virtually everything she's being accused of. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. During the break, I got an email from a PR agent out of Los Angeles. You're not going to believe this email. Senator Hillary Clinton to be a guest on Jimmy Kimmel Live. So I say to myself, this is the government media complex is so obvious at this point. So I changed some of the names. I'm now calling him Jimmy Kibble. Jimmy Kimmel is now going to be referred to as Jimmy Kibble because he has the brains equal to that of dog food. Jimmy Fallon will now be known as Jimmy Fallon because his brains are equal to that of a fallen guava. Jake Tapper is now going to be known as Jake Lapper because that's all he's good for is lapping up the milk of the government. And of course, Wolf Blitzer will be known as Wolf Spritzer because he's always looked like a spritzer to me. I guess there's still a Stephen Colbert somewhere. I call him Stephen Colbath because that's what he could use to clean up his act. But nevertheless, these are the names we will use from now on in the Savage Nation. Jimmy Kibble, Jimmy Fallon, Stephen Colbath, Jake Lapper, and Wolf Spritzer. All we've got left is mocking these gestures put in place by the government. They wouldn't last 1 minute did the establishment not want them to be there as covers for them, as evidenced by the fact that they go on these shows. Hillary Clinton's going to go on Jimmy Kibble. Ha, ha, ha. Great. Great politics in America. Franklin on WABC, what's on your mind?
Well, I think the greatest friend Hillary Clinton has is the Republican Party. I think they're doing everything possible to get her elected because they so hate Donald Trump.
You actually believe that this hearing was thrown by the Republicans in not asking the real tough questions or bringing up witnesses such as the generals that I mentioned? Do you think that it was done strictly to make her the winner?
I can only say it smells to high heaven.
Yeah, because it doesn't look like they're trying very hard. Is that what you're saying, Franklin?
And if you look at McCarthy, how quickly, he looks like a stooge for the party, how quickly he threw himself on the sword to help her, to give her a commercial. Same with that representative, that congressman in upstate New York. Because
I don't know. I don't know. Where, oh, you're going to McCarthy. I thought you meant Senator McCarthy from the 50s.
The speaker.
I don't know whether you meant Charlie McCarthy, the puppeteer. I don't know which McCarthy you meant. But look, it could have been Charlie McCarthy you were referring to, Paul Winchell and Charlie McCarthy. I don't know who you were referring to. You know, all we can do at a certain point is laugh at them and mock them because it's the only power we have left. When the day comes that it's illegal to laugh and mock at these power-mad psychopaths, you'll know that it's all over. Thus far, we still have the freedom. My friend, I do a good job of trying to save the Republic and Government Zero. No borders, no language, no culture. It comes out on Tuesday. And again, as I say, folks, it's risen to number one on the politics on Amazon.com. I think people are waking up to the fact that we've lost our government, and we lost it quite a while ago. It didn't just happen under Barack Obama. Well, that's it for today. Tomorrow is yet another day. This is Michael Savage saying, keep your eyes open, keep your ears tuned in. What else can I say? I'm trying to make it work. Let's see. Keep your eyes open, keep your ears tuned in, and keep your tongue out. That wouldn't work. We're not lizards. But keep your tongue out because sometimes there are things in the air that you can sense with your tongue that you can't sense with your nose. If that doesn't make sense, that's perfectly understandable because it's not made to make sense. This is the Savage Nation saying, don't take it too seriously. It's only your nation at stake.